podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
Oh, God, what exciting days. Days of darkness, yes, and great darkness. But a people who are arising. And your glory. And your glory. And your glory is being seen on them. We thank you for that church, Lord God. Oh God, that remnant. Oh Father, we thank you tonight, oh God. Oh, we thank you tonight, God. Oh God. We get to be a part of what you have in store for these last days, God. Because we know with all of our hearts, Lord, we are living in the last of the last days, God. We're living in the last of the last days. And we want to be like those who Daniel talked about. Those that would be strong and do great exploits and know their God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? Come on. Come on. Can I get a witness in the house? Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm one of them. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm one of them. That's what he said. There's going to be two kinds of folk in the last days. He says there's going to be those who are going to be worn out by the system, the world's system. But he said at the same time there was going to be another group who would be strong and know their God and do great exploits. That's who we are. Amen. We're part of that latter group. That are becoming strong. Come on, amen. Right? Hallelujah. Coming to know our God. I said coming to know our God. Coming to know our God. Because I promise you, whatever you know about him tonight, come on, amen, there is still more to know about him. Whatever you know about him. As a matter of fact, whatever you have seen him do, come on, amen, there is still more that he wants to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is still more that God's called us to be a part of in these last days. In one of the, I don't remember the exact verse. I remember the wordings in that verse, but exactly where it's at, I don't remember. But it's that verse where Jesus says, Occupy until I come. That's an interesting word. I do know what that word occupy means. It literally means to be busy, to busy oneself, to carry on business. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're carrying on business, kingdom business. So Jesus said, occupy until, that's a time word, until I come. For you and I believe that means we have to learn how to possess what's already been given to us. We began, I didn't know it, but that was kind of the theme for yesterday and tonight, talking about an awakening. An awakening. And I believe that there is an awakening, Pete, that is taking place in the body of Christ. An awakening that is happening in the body of Christ. And I believe part of that awakening is we have to learn how to possess what's already been given to us. Now, as you know, there is a difference, having been in the military, and Pete and Sharon both have been in the military. As a matter of fact, Sharon outranked him. She jumped out of airplanes. And Pete did too. You know, I was sitting over there a few moments ago, and we were just worshiping. And Shelly was up leading the worship. She's been around here a long time too. Her and her mama Wanda and dad. And I was just sitting there on the end, and we were just worshiping and singing. And I looked over, and I saw Gilbert with his hands raised and worshiping God. And then I looked over, and I saw Pete just, and I was thinking to myself, what more could you ask for than to come together with some of your favorite friends? We've been together a long time, and now just to see us come together for the night, it's wonderful. It thrills my heart. But as you already know, there is a difference between occupational troops and invading troops. You see, occupational troops are not the same as warring troops. When occupational troops go in, or forces go in, they don't go in to win a victory. They go in to enforce a victory that has already been won. And sometimes, listen to my heart, where I'm coming from, sometimes I think we keep trying to be warring forces when Jesus says we are to be occupational troops. I mean, that's what the good news is. See, my feet are beautiful tonight. See, that's what the good news is. That's what the gospel is. Come on, amen. We are here to announce the victory that's already been won. But sometimes we find ourselves at an intersection where we get to make that choice with that opportunity that is given unto us to engage or to occupy. There's a beautiful picture of this found in the book of Numbers chapter 13, real quickly. A beautiful picture of this in the Old Testament of what really is in my heart tonight for you. Here in Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 20, it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able.'" Come on, just turn to your neighbor and say, "We be able." Come on, amen. "To overcome it," right? "But the men that went out with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as rapaspers. And so we were in their sight. Thank you for your word. Help us tonight, O Holy Spirit, to articulate what you have placed in our hearts. And we will ever be grateful. We thank you with all of our heart. Amen and amen and amen. I'm convinced tonight that oftentimes when God challenges us with an assignment, we think that it is about us, when in reality, it's about increasing His influence. You do know tonight the reason that there is darkness is we haven't gotten there yet. Because when light shows up, come on, what happens? Darkness flees. You see, we have been given an assignment that we think it's about personal life, when in reality it's about the corporate purposes of God. You do understand tonight, you were born, come on, amen, with a purpose. Not only were you born with a purpose, but you were born on purpose. I mean, mama and daddy may not have wanted you, but you are here. So it doesn't matter if you were conceived in a 5-star hotel or the back seat of a Ford. It makes no difference. God got you here. Because He had a purpose for you. You see, that there is a, and the reason that I can say that, because there is a lot of people who have physical relationships and no babies are created. So the very fact that you got here means there's a purpose in your life. And let me remind you, God didn't pick up that purpose after you were born. He didn't meet you in the delivery room and go, "Woo, I need to find something for him or her to do." No. There was something in the earth that needed to be done. Therefore, you were born. And so the challenge is, what is the thing that I was born for that nobody else can do like I can do? See, Jesus comes along and he extends to you a call. In reality, a call is an invitation. It's an invitation to participate. So when I hear folks say, "Well, I feel called." What happens is God invites you to participate in the thing that you were purposed for. So that now you become a co-laborer, come on, right? A co-laborer with Him, right? And so what He has ordained for you to be, and so when God begins to awaken, everybody say awaken. When God begins to awaken us to the reality of why we're here, then we realize that God is eternally moving us toward the purposes that He has originated in. We're not on a random course. You may think the world is in a chaos, but God is not confused. Washington may be, heaven is not. See, we tend to take our lead from the earth rather than from the heavens. And therefore, we believe that because we're confused, God is confused. But I tell you tonight, God is not confused. He is not in chaos. In fact, He is very orderly, moving us toward the thing that He has purposed for us. Can I get an amen in this house? Can I get a witness in this house? Can somebody shout, "You're talking to me"? Come on, hallelujah. So what appears to us at times to be chaos, it's really nothing more than an invitation into God's purposes. If we miss our invitation, because chaos seems to be greater than the invite, then we will set out a season and make another trip. Because that's what became to the history of the people that we just read about. See, they were invited to possess. Somebody say occupy. See, they were invited to occupy territory that they had no overwhelming passion that they needed. That's why most people are content just to get out and to never get in. See, but God's invitation was, I brought you out that I might bring you in. So just to get out is not to fulfill purpose. I've got, listen to me, I got to get you engaged so that I can bring you in. Because my purposes will not be fulfilled until I cause you to occupy what it is that you have already been given. So when this company finally joins and says that the chaos is not greater than the promise, when they finally join in faith to follow him, God says, I want you to possess territory. I want you to possess land that's already yours. But you won't know it's yours until every place you put your foot on, you begin to recognize that is already mine. See, listen, God doesn't give you land as you walk on it. He gives you the awareness of it as you step into it. I believe some things we're missing is because we haven't taken a step that God intends for us to occupy. It's interesting as you read the story, this band of people, if you remember, have come out of Egypt. Now, to get out of Egypt is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, for 400 years, they have been slaves. They have been ruled by Pharaoh. They've been making bricks. They were told when to get up. They were told when to go to bed. Their diet was chosen. Their wardrobe was chosen. They didn't even have to think. So they came out of Egypt with a life that demanded nothing of them. Even though it was a prison and persecution for them, they were not cognizant about the potential because they were slaves. So God was beginning to speak to a group of people to let them know, I can never bring you to what it is that I have promised, which is to occupy, until I first transform you into people who can live in the land. See, listen, if you constantly view your life from the present to the past, then you will always be satisfied. Because for the most of us in this room, today is better than last year. And where I am at in Christ is certainly better, come on, amen, than where I was in sin. So if I view my whole life, come on, amen, from where I am at to where I have, to where I've been, all I can do is shout and thank God. Thank you, Lord God. I praise you, God. Oh, I'm here, God. It's better than I ever thought it could have been. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's so wonderful. But it allows me to stay stuck when I ought to be moving. It allows me to spiritualize my mediocrity and recognize that I can come up with all kinds of spiritual reasons why I am still in this wilderness when I was born for the promised land. Oh, listen to me tonight, church. You can never view your life from the present to the past. Come on, right? I mean, glad I've come this far. Glad he brought me out. See, but he doesn't want me to be a backward-looking saint. And when I view my life from where I am, come on, amen, to where I can be, what happens is something is awakened on the inside of me that I was born for even a greater day than this. Oh, I wish somebody said, you're talking to me now. Come on. Anybody else? You know you were born for a greater day than what you are already experiencing now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not a slave in Egypt. But I believe I was born to be a king. I believe I was born to be a priest. Come on, amen. I believe I was born to rule and to reign with Jesus. Come on, amen. I believe I was born to enjoy the presence of God. That passes all understanding. So why am I in my living room wringing my hands and wonder why in the world things are going on that are so crazy? It's because I got to change my view. Hold on a minute. I'm at an intersection. And God is trying to bring me to territory to occupy. He's asking me to engage. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's saying the same thing to you. To engage in your faith. Come on, amen. To engage in your faith. Now, you know this. Let me bring it back to your remembrance. Moses, by obedience to God, sends 12 spies into the land. And they all came back. They were what I would classify in terms of 2019. They were what I would classify as a prophetic preview, a highlight. We call it prophecy. See, that's what God does. He gives commercials. Your prophetic word is 3 minutes, but he doesn't tell you in that 3-minute prophecy that it's a 10-year journey. Can I get a witness? Yeah, can I get a witness? That's why when I get in a place where the prophetic is flowing, I'm looking for the heaviest folk. I'm looking for the biggest and the tallest and the heaviest person I can find. Why? So I can hide. I don't want to be seen. See, God don't tell us that. And that little 3-minute prophecy, he don't tell you. Come on, amen. It's going to be a 10-year living it out. It's going to be a journey. And the reason he doesn't do that is because he knows if you would have seen all of that, you wouldn't have signed up. Am I not right, Gilbert? Mona? So he didn't go into a lot of detail. He just walks into Egypt and he says, now here's what I want you to do. Tonight I want you to kill a lamb. I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. And when the angels see the blood, they're going to pass over you. Wait a minute, God. You mean I can get out of 400 years of slavery if I kill a lamb? Put the blood on the door. Well, I'm free. I got a new life. I'm out of here and I'm on my way to the promised land. And God opened the Red Sea. Groceries fell in their front yard every morning. Everything is going wonderful. Come on, help me. But all of a sudden, they were no longer in the commercial. Now they're in the show. And he's challenging me. And what was a commercial, come on, amen. What was a commercial is no longer virtual reality. It's showing up in my house. And I'm being challenged. We are being challenged. Right? Because I recognize that what I have been invited to, I don't know yet how to occupy. Because the truth of the matter is, slaves never know how to handle inheritances. And so as long as you think as a slave, God says, I can't bring you into an inheritance. I can't bring you into an inheritance that I have for you. And so as the story continues, he brings them to Kadesh Barnea. He sends 12 spies, and they came back with a commercial. The first part of the commercial is, it's everything God says it is. It is wonderful. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. You see, that was the commercial part. Then they started interpreting rather than engaging the commercial. They started interpreting rather than engaging. See, God said, I'm going to bring you to Kadesh Barnea because at this place, if I don't bring some transformation in your life and teach you some different things, you'll never get to occupy what it is that I have already promised you. And so the first thing he says, if you're going to possess and occupy that land, then you have to recognize that your faith, now listen to me, your faith is always voice activated. Your faith is always voice activated. See, you have to recognize that these 12 spies, they brought back two things. The first thing they brought back was evidence. This is the evidence. It's everything God said it was. Now hold that. Don't make or take the wrong way what I'm about to say. Because I hear it a lot. If I could just see a miracle. Wrong answer. Watch it. These people are looking at a miracle. They have been in a land that flows with milk and honey. I mean, they had the fruit of the land. Everything God had told them it was. It was a land of super abundance and blessings and favor. As a matter of fact, the fruit was so large that the men, listen to me, the men had to carry the poles on their shoulder. See, here's the problem. Not only did they have the evidence, they had a report. The report was, we be not able. Come on. See, the evidence was, it's everything that God said it was. The report was, we be not able. And that term, we be not able, it's awesome in the Hebrew language. It literally means they came back whispering to the people they influenced. I know God said we could do this, but let me tell you what I think. And that day, rather than what they saw being evidence pulling them into faith, the word, the report, pushed them into fear. Because you will always live in the world your words create. Because your faith is voice activated. You do understand tonight, God doesn't talk just to talk. That's right. When God talks, he creates. Do you understand that every time, listen to me, every time God speaks inside of you about the future of your life, what you don't realize, he's not just having a conversation, he has created a possibility. Oh, I wish I could get some help in here tonight. He's created a possibility for that thing, come on, amen, to come to pass. Because the words that come out of his mouth are spirit and life. How many of you know they have creative power? And as those words begin to be spoken out of your mouth, come on, amen, they begin to create a highway for you to walk on. Let me show you something from Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 in verse 22. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, it says, have faith in God. Now, you know it's in red letters. And how many of you know if Jesus said that, he must have known you were going to need it. So he said, have faith in God. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou what? Be thou what? Now notice, it's the word removed. It's not the word move. Because here's this bottle of water. I can take this bottle of water and set it down over here, and all I have done is what? But if I take the same bottle of water you did good. Glad you're in the anointing, hallelujah. See, there is a difference in something being moved and something being, he said, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatso. See, whatsoever things you declare, whatsoever things you verbalize, whatsoever things you pray, all these things are going to come into your life. It's an interesting term there. That word saith. It's in the verb tense in the Greek. It's the word for logos, which we know the word logos is what? The word for word, logos, word. I mean, isn't that interesting that Mattel created that game because they understood that words is what creates things. That's why they called it Lego blocks. Jesus said, whatever you Lego. Come on, amen. Whatever words you activate, begin to declare, you will begin to build the world you can live in. So you need to begin to declare. Another day. You need to begin to declare over your house, we are blessed and highly favored. Come on, amen. My mouth is going to be set in the direction of my purpose because my faith is activated by what I say. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Come on, amen. Mostly by what you say. Listen, see, it will not help for you to listen to 5 hours of preaching if what comes out of your lips is constantly what's being established in your life. Come on, just turn to your neighbor and say, your voice is about to change. Come on, amen. Come on, say, your world is about to change. Come on, hallelujah. I don't know how, and I don't know when, and where it's coming from, but I know if he promised it, he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he'll do it. If he promised it, somebody shout, he'll bring it to pass. Come on, somebody say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. You see, God intended that our faith be voice activated. See, it changes our future. I am convinced that is one of the reasons that God gave us music. It's so that we could keep singing it. So that we could keep singing what we don't really believe. Until we come to believe it. See, he gave us songs and music. The word muse, M-U-S-E. The word music, which means what? Muse, to think. See, you keep saying something out of your mouth enough until it literally begins to train your brain to think like you've been anointed. Oh, I wish somebody would shout amen. Hallelujah. Because everything that God births, he has to birth it here first. Any baby that's born and don't come out head first is called a breached birth. Because everything that comes into this world that God ordained, he has to get your head there before he can get the rest of you. And so sometimes the only way you can change your mind is you have to keep saying it until the things that you believed were not possible and the things that you believed, come on, amen, have been limited. Come on, hallelujah. They begin to come pass. because I think that a lot of times we get limited in our purposes because the first thing that we begin to do is offer God our inadequacies. Moses, yeah. Will you be my deliverer? I'd love to, but I'm a stutterer. Gideon, will you set Israel free? Oh my God, I'd love to, but I'm the smallest in the family. David? Yep. Oh, yeah, you know I would, God, but I didn't even get invited to the house. They were having a party, and I didn't even get invited to the party. How many of you know sometimes it's good to get invited to the party, especially if it's the Holy Ghost party? Because there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost don't... Where did that come from? There ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party for the... But David said, hey, I didn't even get invited to the party. You see, every time God gives an invitation, we give him our inadequacies. And if we're not careful, we talk ourselves out of what it is that God is inviting us to. And God says, hey, I'm going to have to train you to keep talking long enough until you get beyond all the things you believe are your inadequacies, and your voice begins to train your mind to think like your heart has received. And when your heart and mind and mouth get in alignment, I'll begin to move you into things that I've ordained for you. You will occupy territory that I've called you to. When he talked to them about their word, you remember 10 of them said, yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. Poor mug. Ooh, it was beautiful over there. It was nice. It was wonderful. But we are not able. I don't know about you. I'm just speaking for myself. But have you ever prayed and you got what you wanted, but you also got some stuff you didn't want? I'm just being honest. Y'all religious folk don't know what I'm talking about, but I have. There have been times I've prayed for stuff, and I got it. Then there's been times I've prayed for stuff I got that I did not want. But there's a key to that, and that is, if you can't manage the stuff you don't want, you never get to occupy the stuff you wanted. So these 10 guys said, oh, woo, it's going to be nice, but it ain't possible. We can't do it. And God said, I'm going to have to take this whole nation through a transformational process. Now remember, two said, we'd be able. And then God began to take them through a transformational process where he said, environments matter. I mean, you wonder why you can come into a place and there's peace. Come into a place like this, or up to Pastor Pete and Pastor Sharon's, and you walk in and there's such a peace. You can just sense and feel God. And then you get home and you get so frustrated. See, it's because you walk into an environment that's been created for you, but you don't know how to create it there. And then you tolerate environments in your house that are contrary to the purposes of God. And as long as that environment exists, come on, amen, the seed that is in you can't germinate. Come on, how many, you cannot, listen, you cannot grow palm trees in Canada. It's just not the environment. They were not born for that. See, there has to be an environment that brings out the purposes of God that are in you. You have to learn to create an environment that is conducive to pulling out the seed that is on the inside of you. Hallelujah! And so he had to teach them that negative people in your environment can never pull out the things I've promised. And I have learned, and I am still learning, that sometimes there are just folk you have to unplug from. Hard, but I'm learning that. I'm learning that even with some preachers. Even believers. Because God says, hey, listen, until you unplug, how can I load you down? And so I've come to the place where I have to say, I love you. Praise God. We'll dance when we get in heaven. You are just too expensive for me. And I find myself having to unplug. I'll see you in heaven. Because every time I talked to them, they were unbelieving and about what I was believing for. Am I talking to anybody? They're always talking about why or what I was talking about could not happen. You just out of your mind. And so I recognized you cannot drag negative people into the promises that God has for you. Come on. That there comes a time when you got to clean your atmosphere up. Come on. And say, if my kids, come on, amen, if my kids are to have a move of God, I cannot keep coming in and criticizing every saint. I can't keep making fun of every preacher and talking about what's wrong, because that negative environment is producing something in my house that is keeping me from the promises that God has for me. Come on, somebody shout to your neighbor and say, it's time to discard some stuff so that God can load you up, church. Come on, hallelujah, with what he wants to bless you with and take you through a transformational process by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word metamorphosis, where he takes that little worm on the limb and begins to twist that thing and roll that thing until it becomes a cocoon. Because God never takes you from a worm to a butterfly and lets people see what he's doing on the inside. That's why most of you are viewed from the outside. They're just never going to amount to anything. See, because that cocoon is ugly. But you see what they don't know? That on the inside, I'm growing purple wings. On the inside, I'm growing yellow wings. Come on, amen. I am becoming something, come on, amen, that I wasn't before. You may count me out, but in a few minutes, I'm coming. I'm going to come out of this thing. Why? Because I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Come on, got any folk that can believe with me? Got any believers in here? That you believe you can fly? That you believe you can touch the sky? Come on, hallelujah! Something is happening that is changing my slave mentality to a place of inheritance where I'm learning to soar. Where I'm learning to soar. See, the problem is, see, most folks want to judge us by the cocoon. But there is an awakening that is happening. Come on, amen. There is an awakening that is taking place. Come on, hallelujah. And God is about to release you in your transitional season. And if you can survive the awkwardness of this moment, you're going to be able to celebrate victory in the occupation. I wish somebody would say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, where are you at, Brother Frank? I am somewhere between Egypt and my promise. Well, how do you know that? Because I do have some struggles. I know none of you do. You've had just a wonderful day. No troubles and no heartaches. But I'm having some struggles. Mm-hmm. I told everybody last year I was going to be occupying this year, and here I am in another cycle. And what happens is, when you don't recognize your transformation is in progress, you let your awkwardness talk you out of the process, and you forfeit what God has promised to you. Somebody shout, help me, God. Come on, help me, Lord. Now watch this. The 10 spies came back and said, we can't. Two of them came back and said, we are well able. The 10 spoke back. Well, we went into the land. The 10 did. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. But the people in that land were people of great stature. And we saw the giants. Now that's an interesting word. That word stature, great stature, there in Numbers chapter 13, it's the same word that Paul uses over in the book of Ephesians, where he says, In verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And here's why he gave it. This is the fivefold ministry that he gave to the church. This is the reason. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Here it is, verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the same word that is used here in Numbers chapter 13. It's the same word. And so Paul was saying, I want you to come to the full measure of the stature that is in Jesus Christ. I want to help somebody tonight. If you hadn't heard anything else, I want you to hear this. You're going, what did you say, honey, about one more day? You're going to have to change who you think you are. Because God says, I can't get you into that land with you believing that you don't qualify. I can't get you into that land with you believing that you don't qualify. See, listen. Now hear my heart. Most church people don't have any problems with having great confidence in God. Amen? Right? Right? Most folks, most church people don't have any problem at all with having great confidence in God. They just struggle with having any confidence in themselves. But for anybody that has ever been used, who have ever been used by God, God had to bring them through a transformational process to where they quit seeing themselves after the flesh. That's why Paul said, I know no man after the flesh. In other words, I'm not going to know you by your habits. I'm going to know you by your destiny. You may even be in a struggle over your habits. But Mawa, I'm going to call out of you who you are. See, you don't have to be living struggling with drugs. You don't even have to be living in depression always. You don't have to have a bad attitude. You don't have to have a bad mouth. All you need to do is just look at that person in the mirror. Oh, is not who I am seeing, but I'm going to change this person until it looks like the one who is in the perfect law of liberty, and I become who I am in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Until I become who I am in Christ Jesus. And that day, listen, that day 1.5 million people following the voices of the 10 spies did what the 10 men did. You see, those 10 men, they accessed their enemy correctly. Because there were giants. And there were great walls. Great wall cities. They had an accurate assessment of their enemy. But they accessed themselves inadequately. They said, we're like grasshoppers. See, we decided we're grasshoppers. Now watch this. I never seen this before until I was just reading it not long ago. They did not get whipped by the giants because they never got to fight them. They got whipped by the grasshoppers. They did not get whipped. They didn't even get to fight them. They got whipped by the grasshoppers. You know, you don't understand what I mean by that. Hell don't have to send giants against you. He just keeps you thinking you're a grasshopper. The devil don't have to send big battles. Come on, amen. He'll just destroy you by your own assessment, by who you think you are. I mean, how many people have never offered their gifts and engaged in what they were born for because they thought they couldn't do it as well as somebody else? Their insecurities shut them down. Oh, well, I can't sing like Kathy sings. Now, I ain't heard Kathy sing in a long time, but boy... She knows I'm kidding. She can still do it. I can't sing like Catherine sings. And Pete and Sharon have a daughter named Catherine Mullins who's traveling all over the world now. A couple of months ago, Nathan and I had gotten out of service or getting ready to walk out of this our RV to a service, and all of a sudden we got one of them little teens, you know, you got a text message, and there was Catherine sitting with two of our other pastors getting ready to minister in that particular church for a weekend, all over the world now singing. I can't sing like Catherine can sing. Can't preach. We have on our radio, on our Sirius radio, and I can't help it, I love him. We listen. There's a Billy Graham station, and we just listen to that station a lot as we travel. And I'm saying, can he preach? And you know what? He preaches holiness more than most holiness folks preach. He preaches holiness more than most full gospel preachers preach. I love to hear him preach. The only thing about him that I don't like is he brings so much conviction to me. And I say, don't do that, just preach. You're convicting me. I can't. So in their mind, I must be a grasshopper. And so they got to take another trip around the mountain. And the cycle continues until God lets all the people who could never see themselves for who he sees them die. And then he finally gets a people who see themselves the way God sees them, and they occupy what he promised. You understand tonight, the church in America will never occupy in this nation and in our culture as long as we keep feeling like we're some stepchild. Humbly. Humbly, I say it, not with any pride. But humbly, I say it tonight, I'm not a grasshopper. I am not a second stringer. I am not a second class. I am who God called me to be. I'm an occupier. Come on, have I got any more occupiers in this building tonight? Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I said, have I got any more occupiers in this house tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I believe so. God wouldn't have put this message in my heart for you to be able to see where you're at and what he is doing. So at Kadesh Barnea, you assessed your enemies right. But how have you assessed you? Because that is the key to engagement. I love you tonight. But what's keeping most of you inactive is not demons and devils. It's what you're seeing inside. Securities, insecurities, fears. Maybe somewhere along the way you've been hurt. Maybe somewhere along the way you've been disappointed. Who hasn't? Get over it. You're not a victim. I said you are not a victim. I said you are not a victim. You are who God says you are. You are not just a conqueror. You are, hey, better way, guys, you are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, young girls, young ladies, you're not just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. You are everything that God has said you are. You're not a second class. You're not a grasshopper. You're not somebody looking for self-purpose. God has ordained a purpose for you. Already, before you ever came out of your mother's womb, hallelujah. No wonder I came out screaming. I'm still screaming. Y'all offer pretty, but you're a little slow. Hallelujah. But how sad, Jaron. They came back. Two of them came back. We're well able. They had the evidence. Oh, yeah, it's a land that flows with. You talk about, ooh, we're going to have revival. We're going to have a move of God. Ooh, God's going to move. The harvest is, ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But the report was not a whole lot of folk in the church are doing anything. The report was a lot of folk in church are just satisfied being average. Just coming. Doing their religious thing. I cannot think of anything any worse than dying and going to heaven unfulfilled. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I made my mind up. Come on, I got that thing right. I'm going to heaven. But that's not this.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll just be honest with you. I'm doing what the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm having heaven on earth.
Come on.
I ain't just waiting till I get yonder. Oh, come on, help me. I ain't just waiting until I get over yonder.
No.
Too much to, that's right, Gilbert, too much to do.
Yeah.
I mean, folk are just moving into this area, come on, amen, right around this church, day after day after, hundreds of people. Folk are just moving into Newnan every single day. Come on, we got something to do.
Yeah.
So I just ask in closing tonight, yeah, I know you got confidence in God. But are you allowing your insecurities and your fears and your hurts and pains for some? You just don't know, Brother Frank. I've been divorced and God just never, oh, come on. As a matter of fact, I can take you back to the book of Jeremiah and show you where God got divorced. I'm not advocating that. Come on now, listen to me. I'm just giving you a meaning here. He divorced a people and married him. Come on, amen, a people. Come on, hallelujah. Whoo, and we are part of that bride. And he's coming back according to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. In the last days, he's coming back for a glorious church. Hallelujah. A powerful church. Not a pretty church. not a church where sinners now have been renamed as seekers. I can talk about this because I am from this place. Yeah, one of the greatest arguments the previous pastor and I had was when they decided that once a month we would have what was called a politically correct, seeker-friendly church. I said, where did you get that from? Must have been from one of those books you read or one of those seminars you attended. Seeker-friendly. Seeker-friendly. They're not seekers, they're sinners. They need Jesus. Well, we'll go all out for it on those three Sundays in there. And that one Sunday, we'll lighten everything down, just go real easy so we don't offend anybody. I said, offend anybody? Have you ever read your Bible? Jesus went out of his way to offend folks. And you scared you're going to offend somebody because if you tell them that if they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell? Hallelujah. I said, how about if they slip back in one of those Sundays when everything is broken out? You're a hypocrite. That's hypocritical. Hallelujah. But we're not a part of that church anymore. Come on, amen. We're not a part of that.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.